Righto, before we get into it today, I'd just like to thank the blokes and ladies that keep the lights on here, our sponsors.
Better Beer, Jogging a Can, Winning a Tin, The Athlete's Choice. Look, no matter what sort of beer you drink, they've got you covered. Go check out their whole range.
Country Trucker Caps for keeping our domes out of the sun with all their deadly designs.
TikTok Nutrition for keeping our bodies filled with the good stuff.
SP Tools for giving us the best tools for all our projects at home and on the work site.
And the True Blue Aussie Bookie Blue Bet.
I just want to say from the bottom of my heart, I'd like to take this chance to apologize to absolutely nobody. The double champ does what the f*** he wants.
All right, guys, it's been a hectic morning here at HQ, but we're back with another episode of the Alpha Blokes podcast.
Fucking oath, here to give the everyday battler a voice, delete head noise one laugh at a time. This beer's going to cop a fucking hiding.
So better beer. 10 after it.
Yes, Jogging a Can, Winning a Tin, The Athlete's Choice. Got a special guest on today, pro boxer Benjamin the Hype Beast Hussein. How you going, brother?
Yeah, I'm good, brother. Just drived up with the boys and, ready to get into it.
Fucking oath. How was it anyway? Was it all right?
Yeah, the cruise up?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it was all right. I stopped and got some donuts on the way. Probably should not have, but, we'll deal with that later.
Yeah. So in fight camp, mate, at the moment? Getting ready?
Yeah, fighting 6 weeks today.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'll be fighting on a Nikita undercard, which is pretty exciting. So
hopefully
somewhere high up on the card.
Yeah, it's some pretty good exposure for you, bro.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Like I'm Fox telling that, you know, No Limit do the biggest show, so it's pretty exciting, eh?
Yeah. Have you been on a No Limit card before?
Yeah, I've been on, I'd say six, something like that. Yeah, I've been on quite a few No Limit cards. It's always good to be on the cards.
Yeah.
It's good to be in front of a live crowd. It's the best bit about boxing. So.
Well, they're doing a good job, man, bringing the boxing to people who aren't, I suppose, grown up loving the sport. They're sort of starting to get more exposed to it, eh?
Yeah.
So I suppose for lads like yourself, getting that mainstream exposure would be the go.
Yeah, 100%. I remember watching Denny Green Mundine's first fight I'd ever seen. I was a kid, I had nothing to do with boxing, and I didn't get to watch it for like another 6 years till I was maybe 12, 13. And I wish there was more boxing on TV. I definitely would have gotten into it younger, but it's definitely good for Australia, and I'm keen to see the kids in the next 10 years. I got to see all of us develop.
It's
just great exposure for the sport and the kids coming up.
For sure, man. Yeah. It's in a pretty good spot at the moment, eh? For people, like you said, it's a lot more exposed for people to watch, like you said, kids to be able to watch on a Wednesday night or whatever for free as well. Like tonight's card obviously is a pay-per-view, but a lot of them are free for people to watch, so a lot more people are going to check it out.
Yeah, for sure. No, boxing's in a great place. It's off its face at the moment. Mm. I just, when me and V first started boxing, there wasn't like too many elite Australians. Like Jeff was doing his thing and Dennis was doing his thing. And even before that, there wasn't too many. But it's in a great place at the moment. So many big fights happening. It's
really even exciting. At the All-Star gym where you are at the moment, man, it blows me away how many talented fighters are from that one gym.
Yeah, for sure.
And come to visit you the other day, it also blew me away, like going there, how like small and compact the gym is many deadly fellas are fighting out of there. Like how'd you come across All-Star and what's the story there?
Well, I trained at a gym in Caboolture. I trained there for quite a few years, and then the injury that we'll touch on later happened. And I moved to All-Stars, and Liam grew up in Caboolture as well. Mm. Liam Wilson is one of my stablemates, and Vegas Lifefield's the other one, and we traveled in the amateurs together. So we're the three pros from the gym, and we're on our way to being the best pro gym in Australia, I think. But we're definitely the best amateur gym in Australia. Like we have, 30, 35, 40 amateurs.
That's awesome, mate.
A lot of state and Australian champs, so it's like a real breeding ground for boxing, you know?
How important is it, you reckon, to have that really strong culture at a gym, like for fighters? I know it's an individual sport, but do you think that's a very important part to get far?
Yeah, no, for sure. It's very important, you know, and especially for the kids to have the confidence to be like, we're the big fish in this this pond over here. So, it's very important it's important to be from a gym like that for sure. And everyone's trying to take each other's spots, you know, so it keeps everyone hungry and motivated. It's good.
Who's the main coach at All Stars?
Well, we have two pro coaches. There's Benny and Caden. They're the two pro coaches. Yep. Benny's definitely like the face of the gym, but Caden helps out just as much. And then our amateur coach is Paul. And then Paul Utia, and then we've got a couple other coaches under him that help out with the amateurs. Like the amateurs is a big job. There's a lot of kids there. But there's the two pros for the boys, just because I met the two coaches for the pro boys, because there's only three of us.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
But we've got a lot of followers coming over. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say, but there's like three like big names coming over to join us.
And yeah,
they're all going to be fighting on No Limit. So, yeah, lots more faces to come.
Yeah, it's good, eh? Yeah. Is it good having, like, all the way from the little fellas who can look up to you boys and that in there as well? Like, even coming to visit you that day, hungover as fuck. It was cool to see, like, the range of young fellas in there to you boys all in the one area, like.
Yeah, for sure. No, we definitely, it's great having little kids there, you know, and, like, having them look up to you. Because sometimes you forget, you know, you're at home and you're in your little bubble. You forget that you're a role model to these people.
Yeah.
So, it's a really special thing. I know I've got a 7-year-old son and he's starting to think I'm awesome now. The whole time I've been boxing, he hasn't got it. I remember I fought Wes Kappa and he danced on the chair the whole time. He had no clue what was going on. But, but now he's starting to come to the fights and get invested and he really loves it, eh? And I've heard him at the front of the house telling his mates, oh, yeah, my dad has belts. And, you know, it makes me real proud. And it's same with the kids in the gym, you know. It's it's good, it's good to, motivate the next generation. Like, it's a really big thing. And, I try. Sometimes you got to remember that people look up to you, so you got to carry yourself a certain way. So.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. Was it hard when you had the young fella, like, when to sort of start exposing him to you fighting and stuff? Or was it a thing that you just brought him with you straight away?
Yeah, well, me and my partner, we got together when he was about 11 months. So, he kind of just got thrown in the deep water, to be honest with you. Like, me and my missus were probably dating for, like, 12 months before we moved in together. And then, after that, he was into it straight away. But I don't want him to box, so he's not boxing at the moment. He plays soccer and does jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, cool.
Jiu-jitsu is just boys wrestling. I know I'm 25 and I still like to have wrestled with me mates. So,
yeah, and, 100%. Yeah.
And then soccer's a good one. Like, I would prefer for him to play league.
Mm.
And my partner knows that and he knows that. I asked him to play league this year and he goes, yeah, I'm keen. Do I get tackled? And I'm like, yeah, it's not the right sport for you, mate.
So
he's pretty good at soccer, you know. So,
yeah. Oh, just, mate. I think as long as they're doing something, like the team sport thing as they're growing up. Like, my young fella's only 5 this year. Chucked him into soccer. He wanted to play soccer. I'm like, man, whatever they're doing at that age, they're just running around with their mates anyway, isn't it?
So. Yeah, no, 100%. Like, and the culture in sports for kids, like, you know, we on the way to the game, you go get them a Happy Meal.
Yeah,
and the boys can kick the ball after the game and you can have some fizzy drink and have a ball. But if you're boxing, no fizzy drinks. I should not have had the donuts on the way here, feeling guilty. You know?
Yeah.
Put in some roadwork tonight now. So, I don't want that for him. I want him to enjoy his childhood, you know.
Yeah.
So.
No, for sure. Mate, what about going back to your childhood? Like, take us back to growing up. You know, what got you into the sport? Where did you grow up?
Yeah, okay. Well, I grew up in a small place, Sydney, called Mount Druitt. I'm sure a lot of people
have heard a fair bit of it. Mount Druitt.
Fucking wild out there.
Yeah, yeah. She's a rough area. So I grew up, I grew up out there and had a little bit of rough upbringing. But I moved out of home when I was 12 and my mum moved to Queensland. So I grew up with some friends in Sydney and we all lived together. There was like 3 of us lived in a house down there and I was getting in trouble. I moved out when I was 15 and I moved to Brizzy. And at the time, his mum made me move. It was like the shittest thing in my whole life. I thought my life was over. It was like, all my friends are gone and everything's gone. And then I come here, I got expelled from about 4 schools. And I wasn't allowed to go to schools anymore. No schools would take me because I got expelled from 2 behavior schools. And I was like, what do I do? And at the time, I started boxing. I realized I could just tunnel in on this one thing. So, I didn't really know how to express myself growing up and I got bullied a lot. And the first time I ever got to express myself was sparring. I remember my coach was like, put your hands up. And I'm like I was in full control of what I was doing. And it's a beautiful thing, you know?
Yeah.
So that's how I come to be in boxing. And I'm real competitive because I live with my mates for so long. You know, when you're living with your mates and you have these stupid competitions, I'm sure you boys do it here. Just everything's competition.
Yeah,
you know? That's how I fell into boxing. So,
do you think that boxing, like, it's, I suppose once upon a time people might have saw it as like a very aggressive thing all the time, but do you think, like, yourself growing up with a bit of rough stuff, like getting that chance to go and let the steam off and channel all that sort of built up shit is the go? Like, it's good for a lot of kids to get that out.
Yeah, no, 100%. Like they say with farts, hey, it's better out than in.
Yeah.
But it's definitely important to get out, especially me. Like, I was an angry kid that was pretending I was someone I wasn't at school to fit in, and
yeah,
and it was a good outlet for me, you know. And then when I finally found out who I am and I stopped trying so hard, you know, people started to accept me and really like me for who I was more than who I was trying to be.
Yeah.
So and then like even now as an adult, like I know just coming off of surgery, I'm just pent up in the house and I'm having dreams of having punch-ons out, having on a night out, and I have to wake up and play Fight Night in UFC on my Xbox because I'm angry, you know? But when I'm sparring, like, I'm a better man, I'm a better dad, I'm a better partner, yep. I'm a better person, you know? So,
yep.
So it's definitely, even at now, it's important, let alone as a kid, like, yeah. with all this energy. So, I think it's a great outlet for people, eh?
Yeah,
so.
For sure.
Staying disciplined as well. That would have been, was it hard when you first started boxing going, yeah, this is what I want to put my focus to? But you're like, oh, gee, where there's some discipline in this to get somewhere?
Well, the thing, like, you know, most people start and they say, I want to be world champion straight away.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, most people, like, I definitely take things fight by fight because I'm a realist.
Yeah.
I remember when my first fight happened, though, Pacquiao was fighting Floyd, and that's when I first started boxing.
Oh, really?
It was a crazy time for boxing. Like, everyone was changing their profile pictures to that on Facebook. And But they had all Pacquiao's fights on free TV for one night, and then the next night, all Floyd's fights, and all Pacquiao's fights. I remember watching the All Access. Have you boys ever seen All Access?
Oh,
so, behind the scenes, it's them training and their work ethics and things.
Oh, yeah.
And then, I was like a kid that just started boxing. I was training three times a day. I was waking up doing sit-ups with dumbbells for 20 minutes, and then I would be going for runs at night, and I used to get to the gym straight after school at 4, and I'd be there till 8:30 at night. I'd just be boxing the whole time. So it was actually very easy for me to tunnel in. I didn't have much else going on.
Yeah.
I was suspended every other day. So
What was the school dramas? Was it blowing or was it
A little bit of blowing, but honestly, even now you see me on my Instagram, I'm just a massive pest.
I just
like pestering people. It's a bit of fun, eh?
Mate, where'd the nickname the Hype Beast come from?
Yeah, so same thing. I'm just a pest. So I got a call to go fight in New Zealand when I was younger. And I think I had like 6 days' notice. And we get over there and they're like, what's your nickname? And I was like, fuck. What's my nickname? I was like, I've never really been given a nickname. And a hype beast now is someone that wears name brand clothes. But back then, a hype beast is someone that thinks they're real good at something and they're just fucking trash. Like someone that's like, I'll carve you up in b-ball. Like, I'm a gun. And then you play them and they're terrible. So I just come out. I was like, my name's Hype Beast. So I fought and it was my first fight as an adult.
Yep.
And I got a stoppage on a body shot in the first round. I jabbed him body and like projectile vomited everywhere.
Oh, true.
And then they're like, oh, like, congratulations on your win. Like, your first adult fight. Like, how do you feel? And like, where'd the name Hype Beast come from? And I was so nervous and I wasn't media trained at all. I just mumbled the whole time and no one understood me. And everyone's like, what did you say? And I said, oh, shits and gigs. And in New Zealand, they don't know what that means. They're like, what do you mean? I'm like, it's a fucking joke. And I just walked out. I was like, embarrassed and shy and I'm a kid. But that's where it come from, eh?
So, right.
Yeah, that. And then my last fight, the bloke goes, you're Hype, no Beast. I'm like, bro, that's the joke. So, I don't take myself too seriously.
So
just a bit of laugh for everyone. And,
that's the go, bro.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah, nice.
What about, like, when you started and you found the sport, how long were you in it before you started your amateur fights? Or did you have a lot of amateur fights?
Yeah, I was, I had about 90.
Yeah,
so
right.
I had about 90 amateur fights. But I started, I had my first fight when I was 15. I started boxing when I was maybe just about 14. So, I boxed pretty soon on. But my last 2 years, like, I was the most active fighter in the amateurs. And my last 2 years, I had 22 fights both years. So I have 44 fights in 2 years for my last 2 years as an amateur.
That's pretty active, right?
Yeah, so I was definitely the most active fighter in Australia at that point. Like, I was just fighting every other day. But it was awesome. I was waking up like it was like a football day because I knew if I made weight, I was going to win me fights. It was like Christmas.
Yeah.
I would just wake up and you'd be heading to the fights. And usually, yeah, have me in Vegas there being grubs from different gyms.
Yeah.
And we'll pull up at like Golden Gloves, used to be at Rack and Ridge. We used to stay there and be doing knock and runs before we fight. And we'll walk for this industrial, have cheesy garlic toasties from Subway for $2 and be playing basketball and just run an absolute mark out.
Yeah.
And that's
good.
Yeah, I didn't realize in the amateurs, I couldn't wait to turn pro. I was so fired up to turn pro. And it's almost like school. You know, you don't realize how good school is till it's gone.
Mm.
Now it's over. I'm like, fuck, how good was the amateurs? Like, we just traveled the world with like minded people.
Yeah, it would have been pretty cool.
And enjoyed ourselves, eh?
So, yeah. Yeah, well, now obviously, like, it's, well, you will get to this part, like turning it into your full-time job at the moment. Sure. When was the decision to go pro and how'd you go along that sort of path, bro?
Yeah, well, I went to the 18 under-18s Commonwealth Games. Only 2 years into my fighting, so I think I had 24 fights when I went. And I fought this dude from England who had like over 100. I lost a split decision. I come home, I'm turning pro. And my coach's like, bro, you can't turn pro. And I'm like, nah, I'm turning pro. Like, I'm done. And he's like, what are you talking about? And good thing I didn't turn pro because I definitely wasn't ready. I didn't understand. It's a different sport, different style.
Yeah.
But I made the decision to go pro before my first amateur fight. I was like, I'm not going to be a good amateur. I'm going to be a good pro. And I made my mind up. So
what's the main differences, bro? Like three rounds compared to what's the main difference? Is it why it's a different sport?
Yeah, it's like a marathon, one's a sprint. So like you can drop a couple rounds, you can break people down, you can invest in body, massive crowd, massive atmosphere that can drain you, have media things, obligations, a lot of eyes. Then you got smaller gloves. So in the amateurs, you fight in 12-ounce gloves, but they're huge. They're like padded like this.
Yeah, right.
And in the pros, you fight in 8-ounce gloves, and it's just weight. So the 8 ounces are here. Yeah.
Fuck, 8 ounces is pretty small, isn't it?
And then you have horse hair, and like a lot of people just push it out. And you feel your knuckles before you fight.
So
some people manipulate their gloves. Like it's definitely a rough gig with the pro boxing. You got long rounds and big weight cuts and dehydration it's a very different sport. Like it's almost like playing club footy than playing pro footy, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
It's very, very, very different.
Do you reckon Anthony Joshua on the weekend, are they 8 ounce gloves? What would they be fighting in?
I think once you're above 69 kilos. I think it's 8 ounce. No. Yeah. Is it Vegas? Do you fight in six?
They might have fought out right away from the heat.
I think the guys that are below 69 fighting six.
Yeah, right.
And the people above fighting eight. Or maybe I'm not a pro boxer and it's 8 and 10.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm sure we can.
Still crazy. Well, and seeing Nagano get dropped like he did like that. That was like from MMA gloves and not getting dropped.
Even Quino, you could probably Google that, Russ, on the computer there. We don't have the TV, which you'll hear about later on at a certain point. But Quino can Google that anyway.
Clear some space.
Yeah. Do you remember your first pro fight, man? Like, run us through that experience, like the lead up into your first pro fight compared to the others and how the nerves were and how you went.
Yeah, so like I said, I had a lot of amateur fights and I've never really had a big gap because I was just fine so consistent every second week for those last 2 years. And then COVID happened and I was 6 days out from having my first pro fight. I'm cutting weight and then I get a call, hey mate, the show's been called off. It's COVID lockdown. This is the first lockdown, like where everyone's running to the shops, grab toilet paper. The world's going wild. It's a crazy time, you know, everything shut down. And I fought about 4 months later on the first fight back from COVID. It was in Toowoomba on a Stevie Sparks card. It was I think it was called like lockdown, open up or something, a card like that. Anyway, you only allowed 200 people there. And I fought on that card and I fought a dude from Corporate Box and I was fucking shitting bricks. A big layoff for me. Now it's a normal size layoff, but for me it was huge at the time.
So nerves completely different for you, coming out?
Nerves were very different, but nerves were very different. And then again, a big weight cut and then fighting at 69 kilos again. Like, I've fought there since I was 15, I'm 25 now, so... I've been the same weight for 10 years.
Yeah, right.
And so I was fighting at that weight and just nerves. And I remember the ring walk. We're warming up backstage and I felt tired as. And I remember the amateur gloves, when you double guard, it's like this. But when you put on pro gloves, they're so small, you double guard. It's like you're not even covering your face. And that's your muscle memory.
Yeah.
I remember like shadow sparring in the mirror. I'm like, fuck, I don't look good. Like my gloves so wide. And I went out there. And then I walked out to a Thai song and he walked out to my song and I was fucking stitch up. And then I get out there and I was very nervous, but thankfully I got a first round knockout, which was pretty good.
Yeah, nice. But that would have settled the nerves a bit,
definitely did.
In and out.
But maybe it happened because I was nervous. You know, when you're nervous, you're all antsy. You're like a caged animal, you know. A nervous person is sometimes it's a dangerous one.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, fucking hell. That would have been. How's the weight cut, man? Like you said, you're been the same weight for how long? How do you maintain that? Is it like, do you have someone working with your nutrition, or have you just figured your body out and you sort of know when you got to pull things up? Or
So I do a bit of both. I had that fight dietitian come on and he made me a program, and then I just follow it for as much as I want to follow it. So I just use them as guidelines, calorie guidelines, snacks guidelines, like a couple little tips and tricks he gave me. So I use those and then I just go into doing what I do because I've been doing it for a long time. But But yeah, no, making weight's definitely hard. I don't think it's supposed to be easy, but I'm one of the tallest in the world for my division. Like, I think me and my mate Redo were looking at work the other day. I think I'm the fourth tallest in the world for my division. We actually looked a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
There you go.
And, well, that's pretty handy, isn't it? Like, yeah, having that sort of height and reach.
Yeah, no, it's definitely pros and cons, eh? But yeah, no, we always make a joke at work. Like, I fight a super welterweight, but I'm a super, super welterweight.
Yeah,
boys, watch out.
So what's that weight range? What do you fight at? In 6 weeks' time, what will you be?
69.8.
There you go.
We're not going to talk about my weight, though.
Yeah.
No. If you want to know what to walk around out, because I feel like that's the next question. It's very big.
That's what I'm looking at here, man. So the process of dropping the weight to get there, talk us through that, because fuck, man, you see some videos of blokes dropping weight and the pain that they got to go through, and fuck, it seems pretty rough.
Yeah, I think maybe there's something to do with muscle mass and genetics and all these other things. Like, because I know some people, like, there's a fella I spar. His name's Louis. He was telling me the other day, he was like, mate, like, I can like lose 2 kilos the night before and I feel drained. And then I know some people that lose 5 and they feel fine. And like, I'm definitely one of those people that like losing the big amounts of weight, I feel good. Like going into fight week, I'm not going to say what I am, but I'm fairly big. Definitely a couple kilos over. I do my water load. I do my diet night before a fight, lose a couple kilos. And when I go to bed the night after weighing, I rehydrate to 80. 80 kilos, so I put on 10 kilos, and then I usually get in the ring like 78.5, probably 78.8, around that weight range, which is huge for my weight. I'd say more than 3-4 kilos, more than most people, and I'd say I'm one of the fittest in the divisions. I got a massive motor, I throw huge numbers, I'm a pressure fighter now, and then invest in the body well. I'm a big body, I'm leaning on you, I'm grabbing on you, and so it doesn't affect me too much. But obviously, if you think it doesn't affect you and you keep running and you keep running, you keep pushing and keep getting bigger, eventually punch resistance will go.
Yeah.
So obviously coming off surgery, I'm a big boy right now. But I've lost a lot of weight already. I'm 6 weeks out from the fight, but my thing is I'm going to try and get a kilo smaller than my last 5 cuts, because my last 5 cuts, I've been the exact same weight coming into the fight week. So I have it on a tee, but I'm trying to get a kilo smaller this time. So.
Yeah. Yep. Ah, sweet, man. Yeah. Where are you sort of, where's it sitting in your weight division in Australia at the moment? Like, where are you sort of sitting, and is there anyone you're sort of eyeing off in the future to, you know, to fight?
Yeah, so in terms of rankings, like, there's Tim's the highest.
Yeah.
And then me and Wade Ryan would be under that
in
terms of world rankings. And then Nikita Zhu, and then you have a couple guys under that.
Yeah.
But in terms of, like, names in Australia, like the biggest names, I would say Tim and Nikita.
Yeah.
And there'll be me and Wade Ryan.
Yeah.
And then there'll be, a couple of people under there for sure. And then, but the rankings, like the Oz boxing rankings on BoxRec are probably the most accurate, but they're still not really accurate.
Yeah.
I don't know if you use BoxRec or
I check a few different ones.
So I'm ranked 4 on there, which is probably correct. But so there's some people that rank 16 that should be 5. Like, it's just all over the shop. And then you got your NABF rankings, which is the Australian Federation Boxing Rankings.
Yeah.
And you got people like, I'm 11.
Mm. It's like, fucking hard to keep track of boxing.
Yeah, they got me ranked 11 in Australia, and I just beat the number 9 in the world. So whatever they're called, the Australian Box Federation, get your shit together.
Yeah.
Like Spotify with us in the podcast world.
She's shocking.
Yeah. Well, mate, that Wade Ryan had a pretty good performance against the Russian lad his last fight, eh? You interested in that, Blue? Later on?
For sure. No, I'm interested in it now. I've actually been calling him out the last couple of months.
I saw a video you did the other day. Yeah. You were sort of chopping at a few lads. One of them, Benny Mahoney, mate.
Yeah.
That sort of comes into the bit of the injury sort of chat.
Yeah, no, injury or management issues or just a cat, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not sure there, but do you see my hairline jokes on my Instagram number?
I don't know if I did see that.
Like, you missed out, eh? It was good, eh? Yeah, no, it's bit of Macca's hairline there, but I was actually on him 2 nights ago, but he's blocked me on everything.
Has he?
Yeah, because we're having a bit of back and forth, and I was telling him, like, whenever you are ready to fight, say your management issues, I'll be ready, and I will be ready.
Yeah.
And I'm ranked high than him anyway now. I don't even need to fight him, but I'm just one of those people, I want to have the fight that people want to see, so it's definitely a fight I'm interested in. But he put up a video and he's like, I'm I'm not boxing anymore. I proved our boxing skills. He's like, I'm putting people to sleep now. And I commented, I'm like, the thing you're putting to sleep is people with inactivity, and then he blocked me. Yeah, so that was the final straw.
With that bit of a backstory there for people who aren't aware, is that when we're talking about the injury that you went through?
Yep.
Run us through that fight, because was that against him?
Yeah, that was against him.
Yeah, so tell us about that, bro, because this is a fucking wild yarn.
Yeah, so like I said, I was very active as an amateur, and then I had that fight during COVID lockdown, and then I fought 2 weeks later, and then I was looking for another fight, because I was like, fuck, I'm just going to treat this like the amateurs. I'm going to fight every week. So I fought him 2 months into my pro career. He was 10-0 a couple years in. And again, it's just a different sport. And I went out there and I had my mouth and like, you know, as an amateur, and it worked. Like, I was 74 wins, 9 losses as an amateur, you know, so it works for me. So why go away from what works? And I went out with my mouth open. I got my jaw hit maybe like 30 seconds into the fight, and like, I broke my chin and my jaw, so it kind of dropped. And it was like real loose.
Mate,
and I remember when it happened, you can see in the video, I go, and I feel that like it's dropped. So I just put my guard up and start walking forward, because I'm like, this is getting caught off after this round, so I'm just going to try and knock him out.
Yeah.
And then I just went guns blazing for that round. I got hit some more, and I went back to the corner and they didn't call it off. I was like, oh, this is wild.
Yeah.
So, me jaw snapped.
Because you would have known, you would have known it was fucked.
Yeah, they're like, your teeth are missing. I'm like, brother, my teeth aren't missing. They're like, no, they're gone. I'm like, they're not, I can feel them. They're not gone. And then they're like, we can stop the fight. I'm like, I don't, of course I don't want the fight stopped. And that's like, I go into fights with the mentality that I'm willing to die in here.
Yeah.
And I always tell my partner and my son, like, I hope I come back, but you never know.
Yeah.
I'm always willing to roll the dice in there. So when my jaw got started to went out, I fought a couple more rounds. And then after a while, I could feel all the blood going down my throat. And then after too much blood, you want to spew.
Yeah.
So I ran round 4, I felt like spewing. And 3, 4, I felt like spewing. And then around 5, I could feel the swelling shut in my throat, like the swelling in my jaw starting to close my throat up. And then round 6 was probably my best round. And then after the round, I look at him and I'm like, we're having it. Like, I don't care. I'm not going anywhere. And I know if I broke someone's jaw, the next round I'd be pulling them out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anyway, so I went back to my corner and the doctor had a look and he said, you can't go anymore. I'm like, mate, we've been going since the first round. So you might be able to put the video up a bit later, but we have a bit of a back and forth, me and the referee.
Yeah.
And me and the doctor. And I'm like, mate, I don't want the fight to be over. Like, I've already fought 6 rounds like this.
Like, bro, I remember watching that night.
Yeah.
And just going, are you fucking kidding? Yeah, like, as in, sure. Like, right in the middle. So it was like a section A of your jaw that was so just dropped down an inch or two.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like a clean break. And they said, like, it's like a car accident sort of.
Yeah.
Sort of break.
So that must just been, like, perfect just timing of all things coming together to do that,
yeah,
eh?
Yeah, I think a lot of it was,
yeah, so as you moving your mouth open at the right same time.
And then, because, like I said, amateurs are a sprint, and you have your mouth open,
pumping
and punching loud, and then obviously, like I said, I got clipped and the jaw got snapped. And then I remember after the fight, it was pretty crazy. It was in Fortitude Valley, like where all the clubs are.
Yeah.
And I walk out in my fight trunks, have no shirt on, blood leaking out of my mouth, down my chest. Randoms are stopping me. People want to talk to me about the fight, how tough I am. Like, my throat's swelling up, I can't breathe. I'm like a 21-year-old that's been a pro for 2 months, and everyone's telling me my career's over. I remember, I'm not going to say what it was, but a pretty high-regarded pro come up to me. He's like, hey, mate, you're tough, but, like, your career's over now. Like, look what you've done. And then lots of people just coming at me, and everyone, some people are like, you're so tough, some people are like, you're stupid. And I just took it for what it is. I'm like, this is boxing, we know the risk. And
but I suppose at the same time, man, you couldn't see how bad it was at the time. You were just thinking, well, I'm not going to quit if they don't call it off.
Yeah, well, the only broken jaw I've seen before that was he used to play for the Warriors, Comrade Harold.
Oh, yeah, Harold.
I remember when he lifted his leg and he broke that guy's jaw in like 5 spots.
Yeah.
So that's the only broken jaw I've ever seen. So I was like, well, my jaw's not that bad. Because I'm like, that guy had 5 rows of teeth. I only got 1.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
So I was like, my jaw mustn't be that bad. That's honestly what I thought. Then I remember the copper walked out because I was surrounded by people. He's like, mate, what's going on? Like, all these people here. I'm like, man, I just had a profile. My jaw's broke and the ambulance wanted to take me. He's like, the ambulance want to take you? Anyway, so a different ambulance comes and they grab me. They take me to the hospital. And I remember I was in hospital and I put up a post. And I'm like, everyone that says I won't be back, I'm like, fuck you. You will see, I'll be back. Before I even had surgery, before I talked to the doctors, everything. Just a stubborn kid. I was like, I'll 100% be back.
Mate, what was the, like, when you got the x-rays and all that sort of stuff, like, and you actually saw the seriousness of it. What was the process there? Like, what did they have to do? Wire it shut or fucking, what was that like?
Yeah, well, like I said, you didn't really need x-rays to see the extent of the injury. No. So I knew she was bad. Eh? I remember I was in the waiting room and I was just covering my face with towels. There was little kids in the emergency. I didn't want them to have nightmares.
Yeah.
It was that horrifying. And then when we got the x-rays and they were having a geeze at it, they were like, fuck. They're like, man, this isn't good. So I waited there for about 2 days for surgery because I was in the public hospital. So I'm like, for 2 days. And they're like, mate, you have to sleep or you're not going to get rest. And my phone's blowing up crazy. And like, I can't sleep because every time I sleep, I'll get a blood clot and then my jaw would be moving and it would be scratching here and it would be swelling more and I couldn't swallow Panadol and Nurofen, so I didn't have any of that. So they were trying to get me to do that. And then they gave me morphine, I got fuzzy. I said, don't give me any more of that. So I just sat there for 2 days waiting for surgery. And there was a tradie like behind another curtain that was like, this bloke's just been sucking about his jaw for days. He's going to get in before me. And he just stabbed himself in the leg with a Stanley knife. So,
right.
Yeah. So if you know, you're like, get fucked, you dog. he was blowing up telling his missus I'm a weak cunt and this and that. Never even seen me. Didn't even look like just crazy. Yeah. I got the surgery. And they didn't really do anything. They actually put like a clip here, clip here, clip there, and that was it.
Yeah, right.
But when they do the surgery, a game where you put that thing in your mouth and you gotta talk with your teeth.
Yeah.
And you gotta figure out what they're saying. So they do that, but they peel your whole skin back to here and then they clip it up.
Oh.
Because like, I broke my jaw. So I had like stitches all on the inside of my mouth, like the Joker, right?
Yeah.
She was she was pretty rough, eh? But yeah, we're back now, so it's good.
Yeah, how long did it take, bro, to let it fully heal? And then I suppose coming back to copping punches and that, how's that getting it out of your head that that's a thing? Or was it straight away for you like, fuck it, let's go?
Nah, definitely wasn't straight away. But the good thing is it's a confronting sport. So you know when you get a jaw injury in league, you're like, hopefully my jaw don't get hit. And you're like, if it does, you get worried. In boxing, it gets hit the first
time. Yeah,
so you figure out if it's good or not pretty quick. But the hardest thing about healing up from that was it was definitely like, because I said my whole mouth was stitched from like here to here on the inside against the webbing under my teeth.
Yeah.
So I couldn't smile. So I couldn't smile for like 2 months. So boys would come over and try and crack jokes and I'd smile and stitches would rip and I'd start bleeding. Yeah. And it was just, so I couldn't smile. And
then, what a cunt that is. Not allowed to smile.
It was shocking. So I couldn't smile for 2 months. And then I started running like 4 months in and my jaw was like, if you run too early, your jaw will be doing this.
Oh.
So you literally couldn't run. When you have surgery, usually you can do nothing but run.
Yeah.
I couldn't run for a month. So I'm just sitting there. Everything tastes the same. Everything puree tastes the same. Like you'll have like yogurt, sweet custard, it's sweet. Like baby food, it's sweet. And then one of the boys like, oh, why don't you try potato and gravy from KFC?
Yeah, yeah.
And we mash it up with some potato chips and oh my god.
Yeah. I was gonna say, how's
the weight went like this. Yeah.
I was gonna say, how's a lasagna taste for a straw?
Yeah.
The blender.
Yeah, no, my miss up, we should try and like blend a steak. I was like, you're a feral. That's gonna be one of the worst things I've ever heard in my life. But the baby food and the custard lasted about a week and then I was living on potato and gravy.
Yeah.
And chippies, which fucking saved me. But
what was that, like a month or two, man, of not being out of?
Yeah, 6 weeks of not eating.
Fuck.
And then
fucking hell.
And then, yeah, with the not eating and then obviously couldn't smile. But I think the hardest bit of it all is like when the people that love you and the people that care about you the most are like, do you want to do this still? And you're like, you know, if they don't believe in you, no one believes in you. And everyone was counting me out. And
might even be a thing too that they were thinking, fucking hell, what might happen if you go back? Like worried about you and shit.
Yeah, V was there for my first spar. I sparred this guy that I beat a couple times as an amateur. His name's Kieran Whitehead, nice dude. So we were sparring and someone that I should have boxed pretty easy. And I went out there and I did well, but man, that felt like my first fight.
Yeah.
I was like, this is either going to be sweet or my jaw's going to snap. Because it's not like a, let's say a shoulder where you can feel a bit of strain before. It's like, hit it, snaps, or it's fine.
Yeah, it's not like you're going to do warm-ups fucking punching yourself in the chin.
Yeah, you can't.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I went out there, man. I was shitting bricks and my missiles there. I felt like crying and then had a few setbacks where I got hit just with light awkward shots and I felt my bite change.
Yeah.
So I'd be like, my bite would be over there for a week and my bite would be over there for a week. And man, crazy time.
Man,
is there anything still left in there?
There's the two clips. Like, they're just like butterfly stitch clips.
Oh,
yeah. Just one there, one there. And they can take them out, but they don't need to.
I'll have to strap the chin up, mate, when you go out there.
Yeah, I know.
Mate, you can tell it's pretty loose. Weren't you on Rogan?
Yeah.
Put the video up on his show?
Yeah, I was on there. I remember I woke up and my phone's going fucking berserk. I'm like, what is going on? And everyone's sending me this link. And I'm like, has everyone been hacked? You know, I'm like,
yeah,
people send you links. And I'm like, has everyone been hacked? And I'm like, I'm not fucking clicking on that link.
Yeah.
And like, 6 hours later, it keeps coming, I'm like, fuck it, I'll click on it. I clicked on it. I'm on the Joe Rogan podcast. And even today, people are still like, man, that's crazy how you're on the Joe Rogan podcast. Like, and I honestly, like, until like 5 months ago, maybe I was like, who fucking cares? And I still feel that way.
Yeah.
Because I was on there for an injury. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But he said I'm done. And he said when people get this injury, the nerves never heal the same and they never fight again. So one day when I win a world title, me and Joe Rogan were going to have a chat.
Hey, Joe, remember me, jaw, bruh?
Yeah, no, that's it. Hey, you counted me out. And, and like he said, he knows a lot of people that have had this injury and a lot of people stop. But I feel like, yeah, it's just where if you're motivated enough and you're hungry enough and like so you can get it done, you know. And it's like serious injuries happen to everyone.
Yep.
And it's a part of the game. But
it's pretty cool, mate, to see you come back from that. And how many fights have you had since then?
It was my third fight. I've had 12, so 9 fights since.
Unreal, bro.
Yes, I've had 9 fights.
What did we say 2 years ago you did the injury?
Yeah, maybe 2 years ago,
Fuck, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, that's awesome. Are you fully confident with it now, man?
Yeah.
Like, just going, right, it's fucking sweet.
Yeah, I think after my second fight with it, I was pretty confident. But like I said, like, even now, sometimes I get hit and my bite changes a bit. But
Yeah. No, good on you, brother. It's fucking, that's a lot of adversity to go through.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, so fucking kudos to you. Mate, transitioning to full-time boxing and the difficulties around what that'd be like for you.
Yeah, for sure.
So at the moment, are you a concreter? Is that right?
That's what I do, yeah.
So have you been doing that like for a fair while now?
Yeah, I've been doing it with this mob, which is a really good mob, you know. They look after me. I've been doing it with them for about maybe a year and a half.
Yeah.
And I did some precast when I was a bit younger. I pushed some cattle at the abattoir.
Yeah.
Cattle pushing, and I did furniture, so a couple of shitty jobs.
Yeah. Sweet.
Bell spec there at the what do you call it? The abattoir.
The abattoir's rough. I worked at the Kilcoy one and I told them, I finessed it good. They still send me messages to work there. You have to be full time to get there.
Yeah.
And I messaged them and I was like, hey, like, I'm a pro boxer, but I work Friday, Saturday, Sunday, every Friday, Sunday, Sunday.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, we'll just send you a text. They have me on part time. One of my mates that missed 2 days got fired. I haven't worked there for 1.5 years. They still get messages to work every day. And I'm like, you poor bloke, guys. So I could just scan in, push some cattle. And but I used to work overnight. So I worked like maybe 6 to like 2 a.m. And then I would have sprung at 6 a.m. and I'd be pushing cattle. So it feels like my knees are going that way.
Pushing
cattle. I was the smallest cattle pusher in there. So.
Mate, it's one of those things too with the grey gold concrete. And it's like there'd be a lot of jobs that lads in your position would do that aren't physically demanding.
Yeah.
So it's like they can go and train and hook in. But fucking concreting, bro, that's one of the most physically demanding jobs. And you're expected to do that. Then go and train full time. It'd be a fucking pretty rough schedule some days, wouldn't it?
Yeah, for sure. So like 2 days a week, I train twice a day with the concrete, and then 3 days a week, I train 3 times a day with the concrete. And this kind of how my day goes: get up, go to concrete, then I get out of work and I go straight to the gym. I go home, pick my son up from school, hang out for about an hour. Then I go do strength and conditioning, come home for a bit, and then run at about 10 at night. So I'll get like some time with my family, and then we just run it all again.
Fuck,
we do
man.
A couple times a week, and she's definitely rough, eh? And it does make the boxing hard. But I'm one of those people that I'm not trying to push for making the most money. I'm not trying to push to get the most hours. I'm not trying to be the best at my job or anything like that. Because if you're trying to juggle like being the best start father, and then for me, I play fantasy footy, so trying to be the best fantasy coach, and then trying to be the best basketball player, and then trying to be the best like cattle pusher, whatever, like it shrinks your goals.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to just be a good partner, a good dad, and a good worker, and a good boxer.
Mate, we've talked about it. Talked about it very often. The balance in life's the fucking hardest thing to get right. Like, I've got 4 kids, man, married, fucking, we got this going on. We're trying to have a bit of a go at boxing next month, fucking not like to the level that you boys are, but just have a bit of a crack. And the hardest part is, man, is getting all those things right, being a good dad, being a good husband, doing your job right, and giving something a fucking crack.
And losing weight.
And fucking losing. Well, I don't. This cunt's about 50 kilos heavier than me.
Who
so
are you
I'm
fighting? What's his name?
Josh Clutterbuck.
Oh, hey, Josh Clutterbuck. I sparred this bloke. You're in trouble, mate.
Oh, fucking hell. That was
fucking trouble. This bloke pulled up, hung over, and gave me the fucking business.
Fuck off. No way.
You better just pull out. your days are numbered, eh? Your days are numbered.
But it is fucking hard, brother. So, like, have you have you been doing that with the concrete and the training like you are now for a couple of years, or how long have you been doing that
for? Yeah, I've been doing this one for about a year. Yeah. And then before that, concrete somewhere else, did that for about a year.
Yeah.
I did furniture removals my whole amateurs, did that for like 5 years. I was furniture removal, and I did some cattle pushing for some extra money in between.
Yep.
So just trying to, like, obviously having a son, I love me dogs, so I got 3 dogs, a cat, they gotta pay for shit. My partner's a school teacher.
Yeah.
So we're just trying to, like, I just work extra to make the ends meet, you know. Yep. You don't get paid for fights very often, maybe 2-3-4 times a year. Like, I wish it was more like the amateurs, I would scrap on every day if I could.
Mm.
But it's just not that way. So gotta make end meets between camp, and to even eat healthy costs a lot, you know. So
for sure, bro.
Just eat healthy, like, I gotta work. And then if I'm not working, I'm eating shit.
Mm.
And then you need to have energy for training. There's so many variables, and that's old mate that was supposed to find that no limit card the other day, and Quinlan coming so heavy.
Yeah.
It's like camp costs so much to run, and that bloke gets nothing. Like,
The dude who didn't get to fight. So Troy Pilcher come in for Quinlan.
Yep.
The bloke who went through that camp and that, does he get nothing?
Nothing.
Even though Quinlan was the one, that's fucked.
And, like, if he took the fight, maybe Quinlan gets a fine.
Yeah.
Like, I've had 2 people come overweight. And
oh, so because he didn't take
their
it.
Purse.
Yeah.
But because he didn't take the fight, he gets nothing. But are you going to fight a bloke that much bigger than you?
At that level as well.
Like Liam Wilson from our gym, Fort Noyne, eh? Like,
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Coming. But again, like, not everyone's like,
I reckon
that.
He would have fought Noyne if Noyne was 200 kilos.
No, that's what I'm saying. But that's not me dissing on old man at all. Like,
yeah.
It's just, man, the poor bloke ran a camp, and, I know his dad would train Canelo for a while, and they probably do things very professionally. They're probably eating the best meat and the best food, and they're probably doing ice baths and paying for all this extra shit. You know, they're probably down $5,000 on a camp, and now they get nothing.
That's wild. It's pretty rough, isn't it?
It's wild. So, it's definitely, like, working to make ends meet for boxing, it's a rough gig, but to make my camps as good as they can be, it's necessary, unfortunately.
Yeah, for sure. But, mate, like, going through that, the process, like, to get paid from a pro boxer, right, you got, like, obviously you get paid from your fights, but that might only be 2-3 times a year. Sponsorship would be a massive one, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Like, that helps pro boxers stay in camp for Ford camps and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I suppose learning to fight and be a fighter, you might not have those skills to reach out to people and know how to go about it. Has that been a sort of hard thing to process, and is that sort of what you're trying to do now, like get sponsors on board to allow you to do it as a full-time job?
Yeah, for sure. Like, I just signed a 2-fight deal with No Limit.
Yeah.
So I have 8 fights with No Limit, which is the biggest cards on the TV. I'm before the footy show on Wednesdays.
Yeah.
A couple times a year, press conferences on Main Event and Foxtel.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a massive platform, and I'm at a spot now where obviously I'm chasing sponsorship and things like that, because, like I said, I grew up in Madrid. I moved here. I started boxing here. A lot of people, sponsors come off family connections and friends. And I'm a broke kid from a broke area who moved somewhere foreign.
Well, brother, there's a fair few fucking ears that tune into here. Yeah. So if someone wanted to follow your journey, help you out, maybe get you off the fucking screed and fucking into the gym a bit more, like, how do they get in contact with you, man? What's your socials and stuff like that?
You find me on Instagram, Benjamin_Hussain. Just get me on there, flick me a message, and I'll put you through to the people that can make this all happen. Eh?
Yeah, but, for sure.
Like I said, it definitely goes a long way, and like a lot of things come from family connections. And I moved down here when I was a bit older, so I don't have too many friends, or I have a massive support network, but I don't have people in a position to put me in a good position.
And,
so,
man, it's that thing too. Yeah. Like, you just told us your roster of what you're doing at the moment. You're concreting, you're picking your kid up, you're training 3 times a day, you're trying to fucking make ends meet there. You don't really have the time to go around fucking meet and greeting with people and asking who's keen to get involved. So,
and marketing yourself's hard sometimes. You're not out on the piss trying to it's a hard thing.
That's normally when the deals get done, mate.
Yeah, that's where we do most of ours.
Yes, I do the Russian way.
Yeah, that's right.
Run us through that, actually. We had a bit of a yarn before the show. And the Russian way of meeting, mate. What were we talking about?
I reckon the way they do business in Russia, they have a couple of days on the piss. and they do vodka shots, and they get you drunk, and they find out who you really are, because the truth comes out when you're drunk. Hey, you have a lot of boys that are cool and composed, you know, and then they get on the drinks and they're crying, calling their exes and shit. I think that holds up, eh? I reckon that's a good one, because I've met some people that seem like great blokes, and they get on the piss, absolute tosses.
Yeah.
So there's one that comes to mind, and the boys gonna know what I'm talking about. I'm definitely not gonna say it.
Those blackout menaces, they're good sober, and you keep them sober, but as soon as they cross that line.
I actually do think it speaks a lot. I know some people literally get white girl wasted, can't control it, but some people have two drinks and they're carried on, eh?
For sure. Well, mate, anyone who's keen to jump on and help you out, mate, as you said your socials before, jump on, get in contact, man. I think it's great to see what you're doing at the moment while you're working and stuff like that, bro. Yeah, so it'd be cool if people got behind you and allowed you to, you know, transition to full-time boxing like you want to do. And, mate, what's your end goal in boxing? Like, as in, what's your future plans? Like, go full-time, win a world title. What do you want to do?
Obviously the goal is win a world title. And I hate it because everyone says it.
But
I'm in a position like I have two regional titles right now that have given me world rankings.
Yep.
And then obviously we got a big promoter in the country now that can make big fights come here, or we can go get them. And like, Australia's just in a good position where like if you can fight, man, anything's in reach. Hey.
Yeah.
It's a very special time for boxing. Like, people should be very excited.
Oh, for sure.
Get behind it and support it, you know. And it's good that like rugby league, like, I love rugby league. It's so big in Australia, and it's good that we got the Rose Brothers now that, like, they're kind of pushing each other side on side. Like, rugby league's really pushing the boxing. Like, Latrell's coming to fights.
Yeah.
Cody Walker's coming to fights. A lot of the boys are getting around and supporting. I think it's special, and it's definitely good for us.
And I think, like, I know, like a lot of boxers, it'd be hard sometimes, you know, you get the footy boys come in and then the crowd's all of a sudden there. It would be frustrating. You could see why it would be frustrating for boxers. But also, I think the right way, it is bringing eyes onto the sport, and that's where a lot of these fighters are getting seen and now ending up headlining cards, you know what I mean? Like, later on, like, Liam sort of now is headlining fucking cards. He started, like, undercards of the footy fights and that, and it's I think they work together pretty well, man, and
I think people are like, oh, they're not real fights and they're not this and that, but the thing is, they're still athletes, and anyone who's been a high-level athlete knows, like, anyone that gets money deserves money in sports. Like, sports athletes, especially rugby league players and boxers in Australia, well, you don't get paid enough.
Yeah.
Especially, like, you got these soccer players getting $100 million a year.
Yeah, that's insane, eh?
And then you got some players over here, like, who's the highest paid, like, Cleary or someone? He's on 1.3.
Yeah,
so I was like,
Ponga and blokes like that are about 1.2.
Like, they deserve more, man. Like, and then if they come over to boxing and get a good buck, it's great. And like you said, like, If we're on the cards by ourselves, at some point, like, there's just not as many eyes, and anything that's bringing eyes to sports is good for the sport.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I just think anything that brings eyes to sports is good for the sport, and it brings a new generation. And even the social media boxing, like, I don't watch it personally, and I wouldn't say I'm a supporter of it, but fuck, it's great.
Because
all these kids don't want to watch boxing. They're fucking on YouTube watching fucking Logan Paul carry on like a clown.
Yeah.
And then he comes and boxes, and Jake Paul's selling 50 million pay-per-views. Fucking great.
Yeah.
Because it just eyes to the sport, and that's what it's
about. I think that's everyone's sort of going back and now looking at boxing because of some of that stuff. Yeah. So you've got to see a positive out of it.
I think as long as you're not pretending like you're high-level boxing as well. Yeah, like the footy boys, as long as the footy boys aren't walking in carrying on like they're the elite boxers, they're just saying, oi, we're having a swing. Watch the boys fucking actually hook into the sport later on, you know? I think as long as there's that thing, they're not claiming to be the guns in boxing, then...
Yeah, never claim that you're a purist of boxing or something.
And even if they are, who fucking really cares? Because the truth is, they're eventually going to get knocked out.
They're going to put seats on.
This all would have already happened, but, like, the fight's tonight, bro. Like, it's Wednesday's recording this. No limit card on tonight. Sammy Goodman, Hardman, and then the footy boys. What's your sort of tips, bro? Like, it all would already happen by now when people are hearing, but...
Goodman stoppage.
Yep.
Hardman decision.
Decision?
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
I had a little look at old mate. Old mate's like, there's nothing to find of him as a pro. I seen a fight from 6 years ago.
Which would be hard, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Like, but he had a fight like 6 years ago. I didn't notice. I seen he had a big amateur career. He went to the 2016 Olympics.
Yeah.
They both have an 80% knockout ratio, but old mate hasn't been in with anyone great, and Hardman's been in with some really good fighters. So we'll see how that plays out. But yeah, I can Hardman for a UD.
Yep.
And then... Leilua versus
Scott. Yeah. Scott.
I think Scott will do it.
Yeah.
The thing is, though, it's a lot of weight, man. Like, 30 kilos, it's like, if he just is fit and he can punch for 4 rounds, like, Leilua wins.
I
don't know. I'm jumping on Scotty.
I'll be tuning in, man. It'll be good to watch.
More drinks?
Yeah.
You getting a big one?
Yeah, probably not a big one, man. Yeah. We're supposed to be doing some training in the Sarve, but it's fucking hot in here.
She's a sauna in here, right?
Yeah.
Fuck.
Mate, we're looking after you, bro. Fight camp.
I have my arms crossed, though. That's why I keep fucking having a little feel around, eh? Again,
fucking wet t-shirt comp.
Might have to get the fucking rigs out, bro.
It's getting heated.
Yeah, mate, so end goal, obviously, like you said, world title, do some good things fucking with the No Limit boys and stuff like that. Mate, we might fucking get to some guest questions.
Yes.
What do you reckon? We normally finish round it off with them. And feel free, mate, if there's any of these you don't answer, answer. But have you ever been arrested?
Nah, I'm too fast. That was my rule when I used to like run amok as a kid in the area.
Yeah.
I was just like, as long as I'm not the slowest in the group, I'm sweet.
Yeah.
And that stemmed from being young and playing knock and run. One of the boys got caught and I'm just like, I'd hate to be that bloke. I just make sure I'm the second slowest.
So as long as you're with a bloke, you know you can outrun.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm glad I wasn't with you, knocking and running, bro.
That's why I'm best mates with him.
Yeah, for sure.
Fucking good shit. Mate, what was your first job?
First job was furniture mover. So I did it for like 5 years.
Nice. Fucking ice. That is a big stint, bud.
I think I started when I was 14.
What was the worst thing? Piano?
That's cap. I started when I was like 16. Yeah, I did it for like maybe 3 or 4 years. I think I finished up like 18.
Yeah.
I was supporting my boxing. My boss was awesome. His name's Greg. He was working me between the hours of boxing. I got to travel and I'd always come back to a job. And he kind of ran the business with his truck. So it was great. Yeah, he always looked after me well.
Yeah, good shit, bro. Yeah, well, like Cam said, what was the thing that you walked in and went, fuck off, like a piano or something?
Oh, bro, yeah. We ended up working for Super A-Mart, which was Cruzier.
Yeah, that's the guy.
Yeah, but at first I did Atramus, and that was fucking torture. And then, like I said, the bloke I was working for was awesome. Like, I don't know how I kept my job, but I used to stay up till like 3 o'clock watching boxing. I'd just sleep in the car, and then I'd slam the brakes. I'd wake up, open the back of the truck, carry shit out, go back to sleep.
Mm.
He was a great boss. But there's these things called Millenniums.
Yeah.
They're big lounges, but they're like theater lounges, and they have the lights under it and the colors. And those things were heavy. And sometimes, or King mattresses.
Yeah.
Trying to get them upstairs and the stair lip's too small. You have to get it under, you gotta pull it up, but you can't break their lip, so sometimes you go on over balconies and shit.
Usually
it was pretty good work, man. I can't complain.
Sweet.
Kept you fit anyway.
Fucking forget about it, who do you reckon was a boxer that you looked up to growing up? Like, is there anyone that you idolised, sort of thing?
Yeah, Floyd was the guy when I was younger. Like I said, him and Pacquiao were fine during that time, and I was like, fuck, this bloke is great. I was like, defensively good, like, he talks, but he looks, but he lives a lavish life, which as a young, poor kid, I was like, fuck, that'll be awesome. Eh? But now it'd definitely be Andre Ward.
Yeah.
Andre Ward, like, because Pacquiao and Floyd made it look easy, crazy genetics, big power. They just made it look effortless. But Andre Ward, like, you watch him and you go, this bloke's human. Like, he doesn't punch well. He's not the fastest, but he's the best decision maker, I think, ever. And he wins all these fights and he gets gritty and he's a good boxer. He can do a bit of everything, you know. Yeah, I really like Andre Ward. I think he's a very throwback sort of fighter. He's rough. He does dirty things within the rules. Massive fan of Andre Ward, yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Is there anyone that you'd like, it'd be like a dream come true to fight yourself? Like, as in any, if you got to a certain point and walked out against someone looking at him ready to punch on, would you be like, fucking hell, like, sort of made it? Or you're just like, whoever's in front of me?
Yeah, no, I don't really. Can't pinpoint one person.
Yeah.
But I reckon, like, someone that I really like, and I think he was good for the sport when he was around, was Jared Hurd. I don't know if you ever seen Jared Hurd.
Nah.
He beat Ennis Lettuce Lara, the dude that old mate's fighting in Marcus Trafford's fighting.
So
he beat that guy for the Unified Championship a couple of years ago, and he beat Tony Harrison. And he beat J-Rock. He lost to J-Rock, and that was kind of the end of his reign.
Yeah, right.
I think cutting too much weight did it to him.
But
it would be definitely cool to be in the ring with him.
He's a big body,
big pressure fighter, fights on the inside, real throwback. I'm a fan.
Yeah, fucking nice. Good shit. Mate, you can invite 3 people to dinner, dead or alive. Who are they and why?
Yeah, me and Vegas were talking about this, eh?
It's a fucking hard question.
It's tough, eh? I was thinking Tyson Fury.
Yeah, yeah.
But when he was a loose unit,
like yeah, back yeah. Like when he was days, like when he was having his blowout,
yeah, when he was like, when he was fat and off his head, yeah, and pulling up to press conferences dressed as Batman. So I'd have him. I would have Tyson when he was just a lunatic as well.
Oh yeah,
and I'd have Sean Strickland.
Yeah,
and I'll put one bit of food in the middle and see who gets it.
Fucking that'd be wild, bro.
That'd be entertainment. We'll do Hunger Games at the dinner table.
That would be three wild units.
Who wins? Prime Tyson Fury versus Prime Mike Tyson?
I think Fury. It's just too big because I'm 4 inches taller than Tyson.
Yeah,
and Fury's what four inches.
He's a fucking big man, eh?
Huge, yeah. But yeah.
You reckon he just doesn't get hit, like just stays away?
Yeah, and I feel like I love Tyson, but like when he has resistance, he hasn't done too well in the past.
Yeah, right.
Like, I get a lot of hate for that. Yeah. People love him, and I love him too, but like he's never really been up against it and shine.
Surely fucking Tyson Fury, do you reckon that last fight against Ngannou, do you reckon he just took it? Like, because, mate, look at I know he's never had like a stripped rig, but look at him now about to fight Usyk. You can't say that he, like, prepared full-on for Francis, man, can you? Or what?
He was having a fucking party. He was like, wait, you're telling me I'm going to Dubai to fight an MMA fighter? Yeah. Mate, he would have been in the clubs filming his reality TV show with his wife, hanging out with his kids, running an absolute fucking mark. There's no way. And then I was actually watching that fight. I got up at 1:50 to watch the card. The card started at 3.
Yeah.
They got their times wrong. And I watched it till 9 o'clock. And my mate's like, what's going to happen? And I'm like, mate, like, I would not be surprised that AJ sleeps him around. Like, I'm like, Tyson even trained for that fight.
Yeah.
And then we're watching, and then he got knocked down. My mate's like, mate, you knew that. I was going, well, of course. Like,
yeah, yeah.
And like the heavyweight's the only division where that could work, though.
Yeah.
It's like maybe a little less technical, a little more about athleticism. But like that would, with like the sugar, what's his name? I don't really watch UFC. What's that colorful guy's name?
Sugar Sean O'Malley.
Yeah. He looks Sean O'Malley. Like, yeah, he looks like a healthy person who does drugs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't like. Him at, what weight's he fight? 135?
Bantamweight, whatever
that is. You put him in with Liam and he gets slept in around. You put him in with Vegas, he gets slept. It's just, especially in these lighter weights, it's not the same. Like maybe a heavyweight could do it eventually, maybe one day. But their heavyweights aren't even as big as ours either.
Yeah, right.
Did you watch the dude that fought Joe Parker?
Yeah, Zhang.
Zhang. Well, I love Zhang. He's a hilarious dude.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's huge. He's like, a
bit. Bro, no, when the fuck, young. When the fuck did Chinese blokes become super heavyweights?
Oh, bro. He's like when 190. When he ate four of them. Yeah, 193. And he punches like a freight train. I couldn't believe it, eh?
What the fuck?
He's a big unit.
Because, like, you go your average Chinese bloke. They're fucking tiny, man. Yeah, and then Zhang's like four of them.
Yeah, no. Yeah,
it's pretty impressive. So is that a rematch, you reckon, now? Did they have a rematch clause?
I heard they are. They go, what's next for you to Park? And Parker goes, a rematch. And then he's like, yeah, it's in the clause.
Yeah.
So mate, that is happy. He didn't seem too happy.
I'll happily watch that again.
I'll watch it again. I thought it was hilarious. I love watching Zhang fight. I remember I watched him fight when he fought the White Rhino and he went to hospital with dehydration. It was hectic.
Oh, true.
Yeah, he fell over the ropes and like couldn't lift his body up. It was hilarious. Hey? Yeah.
How old is he? 39 or something, isn't he?
Yeah, 40. He's 40. Like, no, he's definitely fun to watch fight.
Hey? Yeah, yeah, fucking oath. No, that was good to watch those two. Mate, what's the best piece of advice you've been given?
Probably shit happens, eh? I like shit happens. And,
that fits well today.
Yeah.
And then there's today. Knee and shit. But my mate sent me one that says, the more you sweat in peace, the less you bleed in war. I think that holds up, especially right now for me. Like, I've had surgery and people are probably thinking I've just been relaxing the whole time, but I've been back in the gym since I could be, and I don't do a lot of sparring. Like, I've been sparring hard and my hair, like, I don't go to the gym to punch air. I go to the gym to punch people. I hate not sparring, so.
Yeah.
But, I think that holds up well.
Yeah, prime, bro.
That's probably my two favourite.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
What's on top of your bucket list, brother? Whether it be just might be life or fighting or whatever, like.
Yeah, I don't know. Someone on Mrs. asks me what I want for Christmas. It's like, I'm an adult. I got everything I want. Give me some jocks. So, yeah, maybe some jocks on my bucket list. Give me some jocks and socks. I'll be happy.
Yeah, good shit, brother.
So stressed, though.
Awesome, mate. Well, thanks for coming. Thanks for sitting in the sauna with us.
Yeah, no,
thanks for doing the trip up in Fight Camp, too, mate. Appreciate it.
That's right, bro.
It'll probably be good.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we'll go and watch the fights, mate. And like we said before, if you're keen to help this legend on the journey to go fighting full time, get in contact with the Insta or whatever, send him a message, and let's get behind the lad fucking punching on for a living.
Thanks, boys. Thank you.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.